Celebrating a legend.
Ryan Braun sends it to left center and deep. Get up! Get out of here! Gone! For Ryan Braun, he just hit a walk-off out of here!
A once-in-a-lifetime soundtrack to Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Swings, and here it is! A base hit in the right center. He's done it! 3,000 for Robin.
This is special ESPN Wisconsin coverage of Bob Uecker.
He's ready and delivers. Morgan, a smash up the middle. Base hit to center. Here comes Gomez around third. A throw and the Brewers win. The Brewers are moving on.
Here's Gabe Neitzel and Tom Cotroneo.
So many of those great memories with Uke on the call as fans of baseball, fans of the Milwaukee Brewers, and everybody just a little bit sadder today. But we celebrate the life of Bob Uecker, announced earlier today, passing away at the age of 90. I'm Gabe Neitz, along with Dominic Cotroneo, and we do have a couple of texts I do want to get to here. Sadler in Madison, he's been a Brave and Brewer fan. He remembers listening on the radio to Bob Uecker every Brewer game since he moved to Madison. Loved laughing at his jokes, watching him in the movie Major League, Mr. Belvedere as a child. Heart heavy right now. And for one last time, get up, get out, get out of here. Gone. Rest in peace, Bob. And the great part, like, how many broadcasters, how many people in baseball, like, anytime there's going to be a home run inside that ballpark, I mean, you've got his slogan there in left field, right next to the chalet. An incredible living tribute, even though Bob is mm-hmm. gone and not going to be part of our baseball summers and our Brewers fans' lives. But he is going to live on forever because of that iconic home run call and how it has resonated with Brewers fans for so long.
Yeah, for me, like you, I still have aspirations to call baseball. And you hear about it. I know you heard this too when you were first. So you got a home run call, kid? You got something to use? Not everybody does, but the thing that's so hard about crafting a call and crafting your own signature tagline is it's got to feel authentic. It can't feel shticky. And it never felt shticky with you. And I think of, you know, this past World Series and Joe Davis, who had the impossible shoes to fill with Vin Scully's retirement. And Joe calls a walk-off grand slam for the Dodgers in the World Series. Now, unbiased from Fox perspective, but it's a walk-off grand slam.
I mean, it's a walk-off. You're going to have excitement in the World Series.
And he channels Vin Scully's Kirk Gibson call, "She is gone." So I imagine that when that day comes, when the Brewers are back in the World Series, because that day will come, and then whomever is on the call, and the Brewers hit a big home run, someone is going to deliver, "Get up, get up, get out of here, gone." And that's going to be the tribute to Bob when that day comes. The Brewers will be back in the World Series, and Bob will have the best seat in the house down in the front row.
Ian texts in on that Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. I'm now 38 years old. My grandpa passed away 10 years ago, but I grew up sitting in the kitchen, being able to listen to Brewers games with him, the good seasons, the bad seasons. When an exciting play would happen or a home run call, my grandpa would look over at me and wink or give me a two-handed slap on the table. Uecker's voice will forever be ingrained in me with those special memories of my grandpa. And that is true of so many people that have called in, going back with Wilde and Tausch earlier today after this news broke earlier this morning. Certainly a sentiment that a lot of Brewers fans have felt over the last 50-plus years. And we welcome in right now to ESPN Wisconsin. He is the voice of the Chicago White Sox on our sister station, ESPN 1000, down there in Chicago. He is Len Casper, but of course, Len, with roots right here in the state of Wisconsin, the city of Milwaukee. Len, thank you so much for jumping on with us today.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for asking. It's obviously a very sad day, not only in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, but really the world, and definitely the baseball world. Mr. Baseball could not have been a more appropriate moniker for Bob, and he'll be with us in spirit forever, but today's a very sad day.
Len, I want to go back to when you first got the job with the Brewers, and I don't know if your initiation was at Don and Charlie's like many's were, But that first dinner or breakfast, whatever it happened to have been with Bob, can you take us back to those days and what it was like kind of getting the stamp of approval from Bob that you would be joining the broadcast team?
Well, Bob was bigger than life in so many ways. And when I was just a young punk back in the mid-90s, it was certainly an intimidating aura, but Bob made me feel very comfortable really from day one. Pat Hughes as well. They were the radio tandem when I started in Milwaukee. Nobody made me laugh harder than Bob on the air and certainly off the air. I actually texted Kent Sommerfeld earlier today, and I said, and I was serious, I said, you got to get that cough button to Cooperstown because it never failed, Bob. And people who knew Bob well remember there were alternate broadcasts. One was on the air and the other was off the air, depending on who happened to be in the booth at that time. And, you know, just behind the scenes, a couple of things stand out. When I went to Florida and was doing Marlins games on television, my wife and son were at the ballpark, and at the time, our son was 2, and they walked into the Brewers radio booth, and Bob handed my son a $10 bill, and I think Leo, my son, was looking at it like, am I supposed to eat this? I don't think he even knew what it was at the time, but that, it was very charming, and he treated my family great. And then just the talent, right? He was so self-deprecating about his playing career, but he played parts of 6 seasons during the golden era in the major leagues with some of the all-time greats and against some of those greats. That playing career became the fodder for his amazing comedy career. Johnny Carson basically said that he was the favorite guest and was on The Tonight Show, I think, over 70 times. He had his own sitcom, but at the end of the day, the thing he had the most passion for was being the radio voice of his hometown team. And I think that of all the things you think about in terms of Bob's legacy, that's where I go first. He loved Milwaukee. He loved the Brewers. And if there's one regret, it's that he wasn't able to call a World Series winner for the Brewers, even though they did have the trip to the World Series in 82, and obviously these last few years have been a lot of fun, but it would have been great for Bob to flash that World Series ring with his hometown team.
Yeah, and I think you felt that with the way the players, specifically Christian Yelich, talked after that Game 3 loss earlier this year. Talking with Len Casper, he is the voice of the Chicago White Sox on ESPN 1000, but of course has roots back here to Milwaukee and WTMJ. What did you learn from Bob that you carry with you today as a broadcaster?
I think the two big things were have fun. When you're doing local MLB broadcasts, it's a everyday thing, and the fans want to feel like you're their friend in the booth, whether it's radio or television, and it's don't pass up an opportunity to have fun on the air and laugh. You don't want it to be a math class. He never missed an opportunity to have fun on the air. I think more importantly for me, especially now that I'm back to my roots doing radio every day, is we often get too caught up in strategy and the statistics, which are numerous in our sport. But when you're doing radio, it's where is the ball, what's the count, what's the score, what's the inning, who's on base, who's batting, who's pitching, and you end up kind of repeating the same information over and over every 2 to 3 minutes, but you have to do it in a fresh way. You can't just say it the same way. And, you know, Bob utilized space in the broadcast incredibly well. You could hear the ballpark sounds in the background. And it's a very old school way of doing it, but I think it's the correct way. And I think for the younger generations, and now that I'm getting a little older, I definitely appreciate that, because at the end of the day, when you're doing radio, guys, you're the eyes and ears of the listener. And so never straying too far from the nuts and bolts and the basics of what's actually happening at that moment. That's what it's all about. And Bob kind of stuck to that script while adding, obviously, his personality and his own unique flair to things. And sometimes not talking is the best choice. And I think Bob was very good at not overdoing it.
When you saw the list of folks that would either reach out or maybe pop in the booth in a city that you didn't expect to see somebody in, when you think back to all the people that wanted just a piece of Bob's time, and were there any of those that just jumped out to you, Len, that over the years that you're like, wait, he listens and he wants to spend time with you, and this person is interested in what we do? Sometimes we can just feel as, oh, we're just baseball broadcasters, but a guy like you just transcended pop culture that everybody wanted a piece of him.
Yeah, it was everybody. Anyone who would find a way into the press box in the big leagues wanted to talk to Uke. And it we don't have people like that. You know, Vin Scully was certainly like that, the bigger-than-life kind of personality. And, you know, Bob, I remember meeting Bob Costas in the press box at County Stadium. They were very close, and I've gotten to know Bob since. But he's probably the one that would stand out, that, you know, just running into Bob Costas, and he was just coming to hang out with his buddy Uke. So, I know Norm MacDonald told a lot of stories about Uke and how he worked on the air, and all those stories are true. The funny thing is, Norm didn't have to embellish any of it, and it's just like, truth is stranger than fiction, I guess, in a way. And I know I'm talking just to a lot of people who could probably kind of go through the way Bob would do the broadcast. And, you know, I go back to the days of, you know, along with our producer, Kent Sommerfeld, and our engineer, good old semi-retired Mel Hilger. Mm-hmm. Like, he never mentioned Mel without referencing him as good old semi-retired. And then just the billboards, you know, I remember in particular, the Wisconsin Dental Association read, and the tagline was, the sign of a dentist who cares, but punctuation matters. And Bob took advantage of that. And he would say, Brewers baseball brought to you by the Wisconsin Dental Association, the sign of a dentist who cares. And, that's special, right? And you know, as he would do that read more and more throughout the years, the who cares would just get more dismissive. But it worked, right? And that's the stuff that you can't teach. You have it or you don't.
Len Casper, voice of the White Sox, joining us here. Of course, roots back here to WTMJ in Milwaukee as well. Do you have a go-to Uke story? If anybody ever comes, oh man, you know, you what? Give me a Uke story. Do you have a go-to one?
Oh, absolutely. When I was doing the afternoon sports with Jonathan Green and Phil Cianciola on WTMJ, I don't know how it came up, but the song Rock and Roll Part 2 that everybody knows, you know, da-da-da-da-da, hey! There are no lyrics, basically, in the song. It's just every now and again you hear, hey. But we should come up with a version that has Uke's, you know, hey, get up, get out of here. So I just kind of, it took me 5 minutes to do it, and we had fun with it for a couple of days. And my wife, Pam, who actually worked at the station at the time, told me this morning, and I didn't know it was her, but she actually snuck the tape to Bob for him to hear it. And a couple of days later, they're in Boston at Fenway Park. And I was in the studio and someone said, hey, you got to come in the engineering room. There's a call from the Brewers radio booth. So I get on the phone. It's Kent Sommerfeld. He goes, hey, Uke wants to talk to you. And now I'm going, uh-oh, what did I do? And Bob said, and I'll never forget it, I thought we were friends. And then for the next 5 to 6 minutes berates me with every cuss word known to man about how I embarrassed him and blah, 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 blah. And then he paused, and I'm just like, I cannot speak. And he goes, No, I'm just kidding. And it was that moment where I knew that I had finally kind of gotten into that, whatever that inner circle was, and he just got a kick out of that and laughed. Oh, gosh, he thought it was so funny. But when Bob spoke, he listened, and I think he knew that I would panic, and he milked it for all it was worth. It was great.
Did you get a nickname from him, Len?
I was Lenny.
Yeah.
I was Lenny Casper to Bob, and I was proud of that. Most people call me Len, but Bob could call me whatever he wanted.
Amen to that. I feel the same way.
Len, I certainly appreciate the time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, jumping on and sharing your stories around Mr. Baseball.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Len. We'll see you in spring training.
You got it.
Len Casper, voice of the Chicago White Sox, of course, roots back here to WTMJ, long time with WTMJ. It's a great story. I had not heard that one before.
He's got more than that, too, I promise you that.
Oh, yes, yes, certainly does. More of your stories that we'll share. Of course, we're still going to be joined by Adam McKelvey coming up, and we are going to be joined by Buster Olney, who will share some perspective on the passing of Mr. Baseball and Bob Uecker as we continue on ESPN Wisconsin.
Rest in peace, Mr. Baseball. The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, Bob Uecker, has passed away. Celebrate the life of a legend right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Back in against Mesa, who is working from the windup. The 0-1 pitch. Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center. He's done it. 3,000 for Robin.
Necessarily everybody appreciates this, but as somebody who has wanted to be a broadcaster for a long time, the fact that, I mean, we just heard after Robin Yount had one of the most historically significant moments in the history of the Brewers franchise, 3,000th hit back in 1992. I mean, how long was that Bob went without speaking?
It's
and
beautiful.
Just allowing the reaction of the crowd going crazy for that moment in County Stadium, for him to just be able to sit there and be a part of the moment is just special and unique.
I've got a couple extra clips here that we'll get to. Most of them are no shorter than a minute long because he uses the crowd and the applause and the sound of the baseball happening so well that you can't cut it short because 30 seconds later, he'll have a great one line to add to like a historic Brewers moment. It's incredible.
It's a craft that very few master. Everyone trains to do, like, oh, yeah, lay out, let the crowd take it, that sort of thing. It's easy to say to do, but in practice, I don't know if people know this, but broadcasters can be egomaniacs at times. But sometimes you want to hear yourself, and you want to deliver the call. You want to nail it. You want to keep going. Like, you know what? Sometimes the best thing to do is to shut up, and that's what Bob did. I think part of that goes back to how we started this whole show is that Bob played. Bob was in the show. He knows what the players wanted to hear. And quite frankly, what I think of too with Bob is the connection of generations that players can always connect with one another, knowing that he played at the highest level. And I'm seeing all the guys roll out their tributes on social media now to all the current Brewers players, former Brewers players. Like Brent Suter just tweeted a great photo of him and Uke. And it goes beyond like, yeah, broadcaster with the area here. Like, Uke and the players were a beautiful relationship, too. And we all saw Yelly at the end of last season. We're going to talk to him a little bit later on tonight on WTMJ side. I've got my show from 8 to 10. But it's just like, man, he was in the clubhouse every day he could be. Everyone made time for him. And he felt like he was part of the team. Only thing short was wearing the sliding pants. That's it.
Well, and so you mentioned that. I think of there was a Sports Illustrated article. And I don't remember the specific year, but it's as that 2008 team as they were starting to build up, right? Like the young guys were starting to make it to the major leagues. The, you know, the Prince Fielders, Brawny, J.J. Hardy, Ricky Weeks, those guys are starting to make their way to the major leagues, and they're starting to make noise because of how good they are. And to the point of how connected Uke was, and obviously Uke was still traveling with the team back then. The one thing that I vividly remember from that article was the fact that he would play ping pong with those guys on the road. And there is a picture of him wearing just, he's out there shirtless playing ping pong. I don't know if they were in Florida. I don't know where they were, but he's shirtless playing ping pong outside with the guys. Like, that is the one thing I vividly remember about that Sports Illustrated piece. Like, this big breakthrough moment for the Brewers. And here is, you know, 72-year-old Bob Uecker shirtless, looking very good, by the way, shirtless, playing ping pong with the guys, because that's who he was ultimately in his heart. He was still one of the guys. And the connections he made, not just with that team, but with the team after, and the team after, to the point where, Dom, in 2018, they voted him a full playoff share, which meant that he got $122,000 that the player said, nope, Uke is one of the guys, he deserves that money. And then, of course, Uke wouldn't keep it for himself. He donated it to a number of different charities that meant a lot to him back in 2018. But just the connection that he had with, not just, again, it's not just one specific player, it's so many different players throughout the generations of Brewers.
Yeah, I think of that photo, too. There was, in that 2018 season, there was a Bob Uecker flight, meaning the team dressed up like Uke to get on a plane to go play somewhere. And that was the day that we saw the shirt, the photo from Sports Illustrated, and everyone's wearing the shirt underneath the wild sports coats and everything, and Eddie Cedar and Council. And I even see a photo here from Adam McAlvey, who we're going to catch up with here in just a little bit, too. And Matt Arnold's in the background in a crazy Bob Uecker type shirt. And it's just like, man, that's not normal. I can't say that enough. Now, teams obviously love their broadcasters, and everyone understands the roles and that sort of thing. But to this level, I mean, it takes years, obviously, to get to that. But this level of love and admiration is not normal, no matter how many years you spend in a single market. And it works. It's a two-way street. They love Bob. Bob loved them. And it also helped that the city and all of baseball loved Bob, and it just helped influence and fuel everything that created the star that was Bob Uecker in that 2018 team, and obviously one game short and everything, but for them to sit down and say full share for Bob Uecker, didn't, you know, throw a pitch, didn't swing a bat, didn't do anything, kind of lead morale officer, if you will. And man, that's going to be one of my lasting memories, too, of that 2018 team. I'm thinking of Robin. We played the 3,000th hit. Obviously, they were great friends in the 80s and 90s and still are all the way to his passing. And I even think of Craig Counsell today, man. I mean, think about Counsell's entire life has been around Bob Uecker in some capacity. I think of everything. The millions of people that Bob touched and the few lucky ones that got to be a little bit closer than others, they're feeling a lot of pain today.
This coming in from Justin, texting in 800-990-3776. Bob Uecker's passing hits hard. For years, I spent my childhood summer nights listening to his voice on my bedside radio alarm clock, painting the game so vividly you could see it through the static. He was more than a broadcaster. He was the soundtrack to my summers and a connection to the game I love. His humor, warmth, and storytelling will be deeply missed. Rest easy, Mr. Baseball. Again, a sentiment that is shared by many, and you can share yours as well by texting in or calling in at 800-990-3776. Dom just mentioned it. We are going to be talking with Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com as he'll share his thoughts on Bob Uecker and Mr. Baseball coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.
Celebrating the life of the voice of Brewers baseball. Rest in peace, Bob Uecker. You're listening to Special Coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
1-0, swinging, fly ball, right center, on the warning track, at the wall, leaping and caught by Lorenzo Cain, and this one is over.
Gabe Neitzel, Dominic Catronio with you. As we remember Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker, passing earlier today at the age of 90, and we now welcome in from Brewers.com, Adam McKelvey. Adam, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing your thoughts about Bob Uecker.
Well, of course. I mean, look, part of this is for Dom, right? Dom knows Uke and was with him and was in the booth and working alongside him. And I'm thinking about Dom today. I'm thinking about Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle and Josh Maurer and Kent Sommerfeld and all the people who really who got Uke through the last couple of years, helped Uke through the last couple of years, because this has been really difficult. And I'm not sure the full story has been told yet about what Uke went through health-wise and in how he had to grind to get on the air. And I think of that last game, bad outcome, but what a gift to have had Uke one last game. I've been thinking about that a lot today.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Really appreciate you making some time. I know it's a busy day for you, too. And, you know, you do have an impossible task, really. You and all of the beat writers and everybody that had a chance to interact with Bob, that, you know, your obits and your memories and what you put pen to paper, if you will, are going to be the ones that people really want to connect with because you saw them on a daily basis. You know, the New York Times can't capture it the same way. The LA Times can't capture it the same way. But Brewers.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, our teammates over there, it's just when you sit down and actually had to type these words out that you had to type and putting together some great pieces on Brewers.com and some trips down memory lane, what were your emotions sitting down knowing him as well as you knew him?
Dang it, Dom.
I got you. I've been fighting it all day, man.
I've been good all day. I won't care more about a story I write probably ever. Because he brought so much happiness to people. And I was talking to Bud Selig about this, guys. Think about 1970. Uke comes in the booth in 71. The sting of the Braves leaving was still very, very strong. Bud talks about that a lot. And who connected this community to the team that we all now, I mean, for me, I make my living off people loving baseball. It was Uke. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift. I'm not going to be the first to say his greatest gift is the way he connects with people and disarms people and makes you laugh with this turn of phrase and turn of thought that you don't see coming. I mean, the Sports Illustrated thing with the Speedo is one of my favorites.
We were just talking about it.
Dan LaRoya, their traveling secretary, when they made those shirts, was kind enough to throw me this like triple XL shirt, and I've been wearing it today. It's Uke and a Speedo. he took a lot of business, let's say, from the boys when that appeared in the pages of Sports Illustrated, and he's talking about it without even like having to think about it. He just goes, "Oh yeah, my swimsuit issue," which at the time when like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was a thing, a big thing, it was like the most hilarious turn of phrase, and it came so naturally to him. And you know what I like about Bob is, what you heard on the air as a fan and what you saw in Belvedere and Major League and the Miller Lite ads, I mean, that's the Uke we got every day on the top step of the dugout during BP. And I've said this, like, for years. Like, I could cover the next 20 World Series champions, and the highlight of my career, no matter how long I'm fortunate to go, will be those times standing with Uke on the top step. And talking about the Carol Burnett show or hosting SNL or the crazy stuff he did with Hank Aaron or Johnny Logan or, you know, the stuff he would do with Bud. Who else calls Mr. He's Mr. Selig to Robin Yount all these years later. He's Al to you. you know, he's special. He's different. He's ours. That's what explains why we're all hurting so bad today, is he did all this stuff. George Steinbrenner tried to hire him away. He could have had a TV talk show. He could have done more sitcoms. He could have done more movies. And he always came back here. Like, he belonged to the city of Milwaukee. That's how it felt. And that is the coolest thing about Uke. And he didn't have to do it, but it's what he wanted to do. And he was here till the end.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers beat writer, MLB.com, Brewers.com. Check out all the great stuff they have. And Adam has written over there. Because he's from Milwaukee, because he is from Wisconsin, I mean, I feel that you know, a lot of places have the connection with their broadcaster. Baseball just lends itself to that being an everyday thing. But because and you touched on, I think, a little bit there, Adam, but because not only did he do it here in Milwaukee for 50-plus years on the radio, but he's from here. Do you think that added to the connection that all these Brewers fans had with Uke over these years?
Undoubtedly. I mean, look, we are this little town, smallest market, the big leagues. Maybe we're a little provincial from now and then. I mean, I'm not going to, like, put thoughts into people's minds, but maybe we get a little bit of a chip on our shoulder about some of our larger neighbors, like, say, the team with ivy on the walls down south. And Uke was, like, this special thing about this place, and he was the most Milwaukee guy. And, you know, the way he made a career of kind of being self-deprecated, Uke was a good ball player. He hit 200 in the big leagues. But he played in the big leagues, coming from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which puts him in a very, very small category of players. And, you know, but he was able to kind of poke fun at himself in a way that fit the city just right. And listening to him talk about, I mean, geez, listening to him talk about growing up here and playing games and, you know, there were these sort of like put together sponsored teams by local businesses, and the kids would come out and play, and they would all have ringers, and they would, these city leagues were like a big deal in when Uecker was growing up. And his roots here go so deep. You know, he tells stories. He grew up sort of on the near north side of Milwaukee. Well, he was born in Sherman Park, but then his school was over on the north side somewhere, and it was near Borchert Field. And he would go over there and look through the knot holes at the minor league Milwaukee Brewers and see those games. And it, you know, he is sort of the history of baseball in this town. It's Bob Uecker. And I think that's why the connection runs so deep.
It's beyond deep. I think it's just ingrained. It's you're from Milwaukee and Bob Uecker's your cousin. You know, it's just natural connection to the Brewers and to Bob. And I'm reading through all of the classic Uke stories. Again, all of this is on Brewers.com, and you guys have done a great job, you and your editors, of sharing everything that has been written in the past or reissuing some stuff. And I just think of, in the story I was telling earlier, of when his first game back after the heart surgery and the thunderous applause he had for returning to that when they showed him on the Jumbotron for that game. And you alluded to it a moment ago, Adam, but what he was fighting privately the last couple of years health-wise, he didn't want public, you know, sort of recognition for what he was going through. He would still, you know, obviously have his bouts with, as it was revealed today, with his cancer bouts. But what he was privately doing, because he didn't want anyone to worry, I think that release of everyone cheering for him after the heart surgery, that he was going to be okay. And I was just texting Lane Grindle, and he said it perfectly. You know, I really thought he was going to be immortal. And
it
that's what today really feels like. It's surreal.
The way Jeff Levering said it was, you always thought Uke was Superman, and he'd find a way to go on forever. And none of us go on forever. And, you know, that's life. Jeff really got me today. He told me the story about the final game and how Uke wanted to get on the air that night, and how the ending was nothing anybody wanted. And Jeff thought, you know, you listen back now with a different ear, maybe, and you hear you signing off, and, you know, he kind of kept talking, like he didn't want to say goodbye. He didn't want to sign off. I know I said this already. I just think what a gift that we had him, and what a gift that we had one last game. And let's also, in all of this, because he made us laugh, right? Like, I grew up here. I know how it is, where you almost would root for the bad game because you get, like, the Uke game then. We all know that. He was a great broadcaster. He's in the Hall of Fame as the winner of what was then called the Frick Award because he's a great broadcaster, not because he's funny. And he was a great broadcaster to the end. And I've also been thinking today about what a gift it is that we have 90-year-old Bob Uecker calling 20-year-old Jackson Churio's first big league home run. And let's see what becomes of Jackson Churio over the years. But I have a feeling that that's going to be something we all look back on and kind of cherish, a bridging generations. I mean, that's stretching it because there's 7-year difference. That's like multiple generations. But what a special thing that is. And we had it here in this little town. We had our guy who was this kind of superstar broadcaster and made us laugh. And we had him for all those years. You know, I'm sad. Everybody's sad. But I don't think there's anybody ever who's crammed more into 90 years of living than did Bob Uecker. So I'm sad, but I'm also, like, happy we had him.
Perfectly said.
Well said, Adam. I don't think anybody can put it any better. So we appreciate the time. We appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers beat reporter. And again, check out all the great stuff. A lot of it up there right now at Brewers.com. We are going to hear from Buster Olney from ESPN, ESPN.com. We do that coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.
Rest in peace, Mr. Baseball. The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, Bob Uecker, has passed away. Celebrate the life of a legend right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Again, thank you to Adam McKelvey for joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Gabe Neitzel, along with Dominic Catronio, as we remember the great Bob Uecker passing away at the age of 90. You can still share your thoughts, 800-990-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text line. And the perspective that Adam just brought to us, I think, is something that a lot of fans can carry with them. I was texting Dom with a buddy earlier today. Again, a college buddy of mine that just like me grew up, you know, has lived his entire life basically in the state of Wisconsin. And his sentiment was, man, I wish we would have, you know, gotten a goodbye broadcast. I wish we could have gotten a goodbye, you know, a farewell broadcast that we would have known. I don't know if that was something that Bob would have ever wanted, but B, what Adam just told us, man, it didn't end the way we wanted last year. But how fortunate are we that we got one last Bob Uecker game in game 3 of the playoffs last season?
Yeah, I mean, as folks remember, he didn't work games 1 and games 2. You can put 2 and 2 together as to why, especially now that the cancer diagnosis has been revealed to the world. But game 3, he had to work. It sounded great. And Levering had the inning when Jake and Sal went back to back. And then to end it, to have, you know, the call that Uke gets is the homer of Alonso. But I just think of all the times that Uke maybe was playing hurt that we didn't know about, you know, that was on the air and he was never asking for a pity party, was never. And that's part of the reason why I probably never wanted that final send off. And Brian Anderson on television told this story earlier on MLB Network that Uke used to joke, you guys are going to light a candle and carry me out of here one day. Just like very off the cuff. Like, he never wanted to quit. He really wanted to keep on going. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Well, I think that's evidence of, you mentioned his heart thing, right? Like he could have easily decided, you know what, guys, I'm going to retire. I'm going to walk away. I don't know if he could. This was such a part of who he was in the game of baseball. And this is no offense to a lot of the great numbers that are up there at AmFam Field and Robin Yount and Paul Molitor, but the greatest Brewer never played a single inning for the Milwaukee Brewers. And so many fans feel that way, and that's why he's got his name up there right next to those greats like Robin, like Paul Molitor, like Raleigh Fingers, like Hank Aaron, because, I mean, Bob is the greatest Brewer of them all, for what he meant to the community and Brewers fans.
You know, I think back a couple of years ago for the 1982 reunion, I know there's been a handful of reunions, but the 40th anniversary of that one a couple of years ago, everybody went straight to Uke. Everybody wanted to see Uke because they're all over the place. And some guys are still in Milwaukee, right? And some guys have moved along. And, you know, we still see Gorman come to the ballpark every now and then. We see Gumby come to the ballpark every now and then. And it's always, I got to go see Uke. I got to go see Uke. I got to say hi to him. And, you know, later tonight, I'm going to have another show of my own from 8 to 10, and we'll have some more reaction as well. We'll have reaction from players, too. Ryan Braun, Christian Yelich, Brandon Woodruff, principal owner Mark Adonasio. I'll have reaction from Bob Costas. I mean, the reach is remarkable, and it's just the tip of the iceberg of people you can talk to talk about Bob Uecker and all the people who have spent a little bit of time with us today, you know, sharing their memories. We're seeing them all, I promise. I we're putting together a piece on WTMJ.com of all the listener stories, and I think the more the merrier. So send them in, and I've just really enjoyed listening and reading these quotes from people who've been here for listening to him for his entire career. And I think that's what a sentence to say, 50 plus years of a friend of Bob Uecker.
Well, and that's the thing, because again, we've talked about this, the everyday nature of baseball, of that connection that you feel with a baseball broadcaster. And for Bob, you know, Adam mentioned it. Well, sometimes you would root for those bad games so you could get the Bob Uecker stories. Let me assure you, as a kid who grew up in the 90s here, those games were not few and far between. They would happen way too often, but you would still tune in and not want to miss anything because of how good Bob was. And then you think of the number of different fantastic Bob broadcasters that got to work next to Bob, not just the current ones that we have going now with Jeff and Lane and you know, obviously BA has a great connection, even though he's on the TV side. But you think of, you know, just down in Chicago, and Pat Hughes has been there forever, but Pat was a former broadcasting partner, and Corey Provis, and, you know, so many of these great different broadcasters that have been that number two guy to Uke and now have gone on to have their own great baseball careers at different major league teams. It's unbelievable the number of people that he got to work with and were a part of the broadcast teams with him.
Yeah. How has this been for you? I mean, you've said it. You grew up listening to him. And this has been really cathartic for me. And, you know, I'm still going to keep talking about it. You're going to still keep talking about it. And it's sinking in. I fought back tears with that. I've been fighting back tears all day. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's been tough trying to fight those back and trying to keep it together. Because, like I said, even though I never knew Bob, you felt like you did, you know, with all those years, that was, no matter what was going on with your life, there was a constant that at 7:10 on a Wednesday night, I could tune in and Bob was going to be there. And that was always a constant, you know, in your life if you grew up here in the state of Wisconsin. Buster Olney, ESPN senior writer, baseball analyst, joining us now. Buster, thank you so much for the time. I wish we got to chat under better circumstances, my friend, but when I say the name Bob Uecker, what comes to mind for you?
Well, the funniest guy in baseball history, and the person who, among so many stars, made the greatest speech at baseball's Hall of Fame when he was inducted in 2003. He was, he was one of one. There's never been anybody like him. There's never ever going to be anybody like him again. I mean, he just was so beloved within the sport. And he just made the game so fun. And, you know, I didn't really know him that well personally, but man, today talking with people, you know, texting Craig Counsell, you know, folks who knew him a lot better than I did, they are really going to miss him.
Yeah, absolutely. Buster, this is Dom Catronio. Thanks for making the time with us. And I know more of the American League side right when the Brewers had switched over to the National League, so you didn't get a lot of time interacting when you were covering with whether it was Baltimore or New York or wherever. But I'm curious if he ever came up, if Bob ever came up with George, with Steinbrenner, if you ever had conversations, because we all know the rumors that he tried to lure him away and that years, so many years passed, like, was he still bitter about it? Did he still really want Uecker to come over to New York?
So I actually, the first time I ever heard that was earlier today, that George, but it absolutely fits. I'm sure that during the Miller Lite commercial, you know, during that era, that was something that, you know, would have interested George, because George absolutely believed in stars, in the marquee, and there was no bigger media star within the sport in the mid-'80s than Bob Uecker. And so you could see George making a big pitch, thinking that he was going to get the best announcer in baseball, the most well-known announcer in baseball. And it also fits, based on what I've heard from other people about Bob, that Bob would, you know, talk about it, maybe even agree to it verbally, and then at some point back away saying, I just can't do it. I just can't leave Milwaukee.
Buster Olney joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. Buster, with some of the people you've talked to today and even over the years, do you have a favorite Bob Uecker story that you've heard?
Boy, well, the one today that I got feedback, you know, Craig Counsell, I asked him in a text what, you know, when he first remembers meeting Uecker, you know, given his own background. He said he met him when he was 10 years old, and he talked about how on a daily basis when he was managing the Brewers, that was the best half hour each day because they would do the pregame show and, you know, Bob would be down there and they would get a chance to talk. You know, that to me was so heartfelt, and it reflects a lot of what other people have said, whether it's Tim Kirkjian, you know, players you see on social media talking about, you know, what a special connection they had with him.
It's been a ride of emotion for everybody here in Milwaukee. But I think of, you know, really the scope. I mean, I just saw a photo tweeted by Adam Sandler of him taking a selfie with Bob Uecker. I mean, like, I think that's a great way to kind of put it, that the scope of Bob Uecker is well beyond our little baseball world that we all know. And I don't know if there's a way to put that into words, given the status and the Johnny Carson and the list goes on. Is there a way that... I think of when Paul Skeens even requested to meet with him earlier this year. I don't know if you had seen that photo. Like, that's, this dude transcends not just baseball, and obviously Paul's a star, but it goes beyond that.
Yeah, so Tom Rinaldi did a great piece for Fox last year before one of the Brewer games, the broadcast of the Brewers, and he sat down with Bob, and he asked him, okay, who's the most famous person you have in your phone? You have the person's digits, and you know Bob Uecker has everybody, right? As you said, people are coming out of the woodwork today with stories, with anecdotes, and Uecker looked at him in his famous deadpan and goes, me, I'm the most famous person in my phone. And then he pointed out that, you know, when people passed on, he kept them in his phone. And I can't even imagine all the people that Bob would have had in his phone. Because you say people sought him out. It was like an experience. Part of the reason why I didn't really establish a relationship with him was because I was always like in awe of the guy. And I'm like, he doesn't need some dopey sports writer bothering him.
That's pretty much how I felt as a pre- and post-game guy here sometimes, even though I was technically his teammate. But the funny thing, too, with those names that are in the phone and everyone that's reached out and everybody that has something to say about Bob, he made time for everybody, and I know he would have made time for you too, Buster. I can promise you that. But when I think of the life that he lived and the current players that still understand it, like we're seeing tributes from the current Brewers as well. I think of some of the veterans. Like I remember Adam Wainwright came up to the booth a couple of years ago, and Uke made Adam read a Miller Lite ad. As you can imagine, Wainwright, Budweiser, St. Louis Country. That's the kind of guy this guy was, and the memories that I'll take with him.
Oh, part of my, today has been about going back and watching those clips as Mr. Baseball with Johnny Carson. And I, you know, the first episode that Uecker was ever on, you could tell first off that Carson really had no idea who he was. And then right away, Johnny has a hard time keeping it straight. He's just laughing out loud. And I'm sure after that show was over, he's like, bring that guy back on. And he had, what, over 100 appearances on Carson during the course of his career? Norm MacDonald telling stories about him. and as I mentioned, I mean, we've seen some great Hall of Fame speeches through the years, really. Some heartfelt words from all-time great players. Nobody's close to Uecker's speech, and all Uecker did was to go in out there and try to make people laugh. And so there are cutaways of Willie Mays and Eddie Murray and other stars like wiping their eyes because they were laughing so hard, And as my colleague Tim Kirkchin pointed out today, he did it all off the cuff.
Yep.
He did this great 20 minutes. It was unbelievable. I would encourage everybody to go and find that on YouTube. Bob Uecker's Hall of Fame speech from 2003.
Yeah, and you think of Buster in Bob's career. He played with Warren Spahn, you know, some great like that, and then got to call Jackson Churio's first career home run. That's how long Bob's baseball career spanned. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, what a life lived, what an impact. I mean, we should all, you know, hope for an experience and an impact that Bob Uecker had.
Buster, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective on Bob. We certainly appreciate it here in Milwaukee.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Buster.
Buster Olney, ESPN senior writer, baseball analyst, joining us here on ESPN Wisconsin. We've gone over our time. KBN, I'm sure, will continue to take your calls. They'll continue to take your texts on that Carbless Talking text line. Dom, thank you so much for jumping in with us today.
Thank you, Gabe. Thanks for having me.
KBN, coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin.
Home run, the pitch. Ryan Braun sends it to